Welcome into the SEC pub.
What's going on, everybody? I'm your host, Dale. It's another week of college football, so we're back in the SEC pub. And joining me today, I've got my friend Evis. What's going on? I've got Nick with me from Roll the Coverage. What's going on, Nick?
It's going pretty good, man. You excited for this weekend? There's some good games. Oregon, Colorado last week, USC, Colorado this week.
I am excited, man. This is going to be a good week of college football. College football never disappoints, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Evis.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
I got you, man. I got you. Yes.
All right. Great.
Oh, good, man. So we're going to get into some games. You know, Coach Lee should be joining us a little bit later. If he none, you know, whatever, we'll still go through these games. Let's start off with USC at Colorado. I'm sorry, USC at Colorado. USC is a 21.5-point favorite there. The total is 72. So after starting the season with three consecutive wins, Colorado suffered a blowout loss against Oregon last week. But meanwhile, the Trojans, they've been cruising through their four games. They're winning by an average of 35 points. So this is probably why we see the spread so big here. Evans, what do we think about Colorado and their chances at this game?
Hopefully after that loss last week, Colorado is able to kind of refocus and look forward to, you know, the coaches have had the players' attention this week. Yeah, the celebration parade is over with, man. And so now it's time to get down to business and play some football. I'm still drinking the Colorado juice, and I hope it's an opportunity for them to refocus. Nobody said it was going to be easy. I think they have 11 o'clock kick tomorrow. And so I'm actually looking forward to it. Caleb Williams is naturally your Heisman Trophy, probably front runner this year, and the return of Heisman Trophy from last year. I probably like USC in this game if I was going to have to pick, but not by the point spread that I see here. I think it'll be a little closer.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit closer too. Yeah, just like you said, nothing wakes you up like that behind whipping like that, right? So, and Coach Prime, you know, he's got pride, man. Your man. So I don't see you coming out here just getting my butt kicked, you know, 2 weeks in a row. You know what I mean? What you think, Nick?
I mean, okay. The reason why I was talking, I apologize for interrupting you to begin with, because I had to grab this, okay? Okay, hold on 1 second.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Go Colorado. Colorado all the way. But seriously, do I believe in Deion Sanders? 100%. I believe in him. Do I believe him to cover 21.5? Absolutely not. USC is arguably the best team in college football. Alabama has taken a back seat. Clemson, Georgia even looked terrible for the first game of the season. Deion is primed for the future. Deion was not primed to win a natty this year or even really compete. Even if he was to win out the rest, even beating USC, I don't think they'd really be able to compete at the highest level against the highest talent. We saw that with the Oregon game. So personally, I'm going to take the 21.5 that USC has given. I think that it's going to be probably a little bit bigger than that. I think it'll be competitive, but not really competitive. Nothing where USC will be scared.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
I was going to ask, what type of viewership you think that this game will enjoy with the 11 o'clock kick, guys, tomorrow?
Oh, I didn't realize this game was that early. That's really unusual for a West Coast team.
Absolutely. I mean,
they're trying to get primetime.
Yeah, I'm surprised. It's not a primetime game, but you would think with Caleb Williams coming in as the Heisman Trophy front runner and returning Heisman Trophy winner, that the game would be at a different time, but I checked and it looks like that's an 11 a.m. kick.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep. And I think that that's the really the marquee game. I mean, obviously, you'd be looking at Penn State, Northwestern. The main game starting then is Penn State, Northwestern, USC, Colorado, Florida, Kentucky. Rest of them like A&M, Arkansas and everything are people that are going to be trying to make it into the top 25. But I think that USC, Colorado game was put early because you're going to be watching two games and it's going to be Penn State, Northwestern, USC, Colorado. And then it's after that point where you really start to get into them. Now, I'm actually out here in Colorado, so it's 10 o'clock my time. Perfect time to watch football. Beginning of the day, cup of coffee, the whole nine. But those later games are where you really start to get the big ones, the Texas, Kansas, Michigan, Nebraska, Georgia, Auburn. So those are going to be the good ones. This USC Colorado thing, I think, is to prime us because if Deion Sanders gets destroyed in this game, they don't want it to be the 8 o'clock thing that has people up till 2 o'clock in the morning like they were doing before. They want to get this just completely out of the way and then move on to quote unquote better college football.
All right. One final question, guys, before we move from this game. I wanted to ask you guys, did you guys see the star-studded list of A-list stars who will be in the building for the game on tomorrow? That was released this week. I think you have Lil Wayne will be in the building again this week at Colorado. You have Jay-Z in the building this week. Bronny and LeBron James will both be in attendance tomorrow. And so, and there's others, guys, but, you know, these kids in Colorado, man, they better strap it up, man, because every week it looks like Deion is attracting the top talent and the top entertainment from all over the world, man, to come in and watch them play. And so that's some added motivation. I don't know if some would consider it a distraction or not. I think a lot of those college game day shows were out there this morning. I think Undisputed was there this morning. And so, is this a distraction or can Deion keep the kids focused? I think that's something you have to consider.
Man, like all of the celebrities like coming through on game day, like it's got to help with recruiting. And I think I've heard like Miami excommunicated some players.
Miami has?
Yeah, that's what I heard. Like, Michael Irvin.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, that's what really? I heard.
I think it's just going to be an interesting time. I think that Deion Sanders, to be honest, yours, Dale. Mm-hmm. I think that he might eventually end up at a, in my opinion, top 10 program. Mainly the one that I'm looking at is yours, LSU, because I don't think Brian Kelly is going to survive another 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
I think 2 years from now, he'll be gone. He'll move on to something else. And then that'll be the time where you see Deion Sanders jump from a really great contending Colorado team that's able to win at the highest level and then go, hey, now I have basically a $1 billion franchise and all the money and recruiting power that I could think of. Now it's time for me to really go win some stuff. So I think this is just the beginning. The HBCU stuff I love. I hope we continue to develop more HBCUs, all of that stuff. I love what he's doing at Colorado. I love the idea of taking these coaches and building them up through these programs that have been defunct for years. Like Colorado hasn't been relevant in 20 years, basically.
Yeah.
So I think it's great for the sport. It's great for Deion. Overall, I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Good points there. Let's go to the next game. We have Notre Dame going to Duke. This is the game where College Game Day will be. Notre Dame is a 5.5-point favorite. The total is 52. We have Duke coming off of a dominant 41-7 victory over UConn. And they've allowed the fewest points of any team in the ACC. And Notre Dame is looking to bounce back after a close loss. 17-14 to Ohio State, where we had Sam Hartman. He threw for 175 yards and a touchdown in that game. Nick, you are a Duke fan here. I'll give you the first shot at this game. What do you think?
Okay. I'm first going to preface this as if you are a betting person, I follow one rule in betting, and that is do not bet on your own team. So I will avoid this at all costs. I will watch it. I will root for Duke all day long, but I will not bet on my Hornets, my Blue Devils, my Panthers. I'm sorry.
I understand that.
But To be honest, Riley Leonard's like 21 in QBR in all of college football. Sam Hartman's like top 10 or something like that. I just don't think that the Irish are really for real this year. I don't see them competing at the highest level against the top tier talent until they decide to actually join a conference and really start making themselves a part of it and quit doing this, you know, like dancing around stuff. I like them with Brian Kelly, obviously with him at LSU, that leaves a big power gap. But I don't believe in Notre Dame at all here. If I had to bet this game, I would take Duke money line, or I'd take any plus points that I'm getting. So I think you had it up before where it was like they're getting like five or something like that. I would just take it. Yeah, I would take that.
Yeah.
Riley Leonard's way too good. At this point, when we go to the draft, I mean, obviously Bo Nix, you're going to get the Penixes and guys like that that are going to go high, Drake May. No offense, Sam Hartman is going to be drafted after Riley Leonard. So if this comes down to quarterback to quarterback, ooh, Duke's going to win.
Okay. All right. Evans, what's your thoughts on this game?
Something you didn't know about me, Dale. I'm a diehard Duke Blue Devil basketball fan.
Yeah.
Love Coach K, but I'm really impressed with this football program as well. We spoke earlier in this season about we previewed that Duke and Clemson game, and I picked Duke to win that game. I'm going to go out there again, guys, just based on what I've seen with Duke and the way they play defense against Clemson. I think they've given up high 14 points this year. Everybody else has been held to 7. I'm going to go out on a limb right now and say that Duke is going to beat Notre Dame tomorrow. And I wouldn't be surprised if the game was spread by 10 points the opposite direction from what the Las Vegas has right now.
Mm. Okay. Well, I think if I'm betting this game, I'm probably going to bet on Notre Dame just because they're coming off that loss to think back to back. But, you know, they're on the road. So I give me the 5.5 with Duke. You're right.
I'm glad we can all agree. Yes. Duke is finally my entire life. Duke basketball was the best. Now we're starting to take a little bit of a slide as football starts to go. It's a great time to be a Duke fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I see you. All right, our next game, we're going to talk about Oregon State. I'm sorry, it's Utah at Oregon State. Oregon State, 2.5-point favorite. Low total, 44 points. Number 19, Oregon State, hoping to bounce back against the number 10, Utah Utes, who may have an uncertain quarterback situation. I've been hearing that Cam Rising is looking to play his first game. He's coming off of an ACL injury. From what I hear, it's supposed to be a game time decision. We'll see about that. But Utah's been playing pretty strong defense, especially against the run. But Oregon State, they've been running the ball really well. They've had 100 yards in like their last 11 games or something. So this could be why it's a low total. They're expecting it to be a lot of defense and running the ball. So, Nick, what are you thinking about this game?
Personally, I'm going to take the +2.5 for Utah. Mm-hmm. Even if Cam Rising is not a starter, their backup is more than serviceable. I think that Oregon State is going to kind of run through a bad time because I'm pretty sure their game after this or the game after that is Colorado. So I think they're going to come off of a bad loss here. One where they came in as the definitive favorites and walk out as a handed loser. I'm absolutely going to bet the over in this one. But obviously, I could see it going either way. I just don't believe in Oregon State yet. It's going to take time with that. But obviously, if Cam Rising is playing, the game's over. So
that could be the way that it swings then. What do you think, Evans?
Well, when there's questions at quarterback, guys, there are questions everywhere. And so if you haven't made a decision about your quarterback going into tomorrow, I have questions about his health myself personally. You combine that with the fact that Oregon is running the ball really well this year and they're at home. I think I like Oregon. I think I like Oregon State to beat Utah tomorrow regardless of quarterback.
Okay. Oh, man, who am I picking here?
It's a tough one.
Yeah. I think I'm going to roll with Utah, but the offense is pretty concerning. I don't think they've scored like 20 points or something this whole year, if I'm not mistaken. It's been crazy with Utah, like these low scoring games, but their defense have come to play. I'll stick with the defense. So that'll be my bet then.
You better hope that defense travels.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Pac-12, Utah, baby.
Utah's in that weird spot right now. I think Utah could really compete if Cam Rising can actually play at the highest level. But after what I saw Bo Nix do to Colorado, I'm not giving a whole lot of faith to anybody else in that conference.
Bad. All right, next game. We have LSU going to Ole Miss. LSU is a 2.5-point road favorite. The total is 66.5. Ole Miss is looking to bounce back after their first loss of the season, while LSU is riding a 3-game winning streak. They're coming off of a hard-fought game versus Arkansas, which I am so glad I will never have to see face KJ Wright again. Okay. So tired of that dude. This last game, it was just like we said, Evans. It was going to be a throw that records out.
It will
come down to last possession, pretty much.
Correct. I was impressed with the game. I think last week on last Saturday, that was the best game in the country played last week, easily. And it was LSU and Arkansas. They came and they brought the entertainment factor for us, and the game went down to the wire as we expected and that we predicted. We didn't even utilize rankings when we talked about that game, really. And I think tomorrow, I like LSU. This is guys, we have to face something. When you're talking about the SEC, you have LSU, you have Georgia, you have Alabama, and then you have that next echelon of teams that are in the SEC, and Ole Miss falls into that category along with Arkansas and others. So Ole Miss is not a team that's picked to win a national championship. The expectations for them to play well and great are not as high as that in LSU. And LSU is going to go to Ole Miss, and I think they'll win the game rather handily. I'm expecting Ole Miss to look like Ole Miss tomorrow, and
yeah,
look like LSU tomorrow. I'm not excited about this game. I probably will just check the scores on it occasionally. Mm-hmm. LSU will win this game by 14.
Yeah. So, Ole Miss. What's crazy about Ole Miss's schedule is they've only faced backup quarterbacks so far.
Whoa.
Which is kind of crazy.
Right.
The fact that just happens to fall in line blows my mind.
it's really weird because the game they lost against Bama. Bama played their backup trying to see if they could find something on offense, and they didn't find what they thought, you know?
Correct.
Yeah, so, Alabama's taking a massive step back.
Oh, yeah. Well, welcome back to reality, Alabama.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
It's like the Packers. We're scrapping it out in the SEC West, and that's fine with us. So,
yeah.
Right now LSU is the only undefeated SEC West team, which is great.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's gonna end this week because I'm taking Ole Miss plus 2.
Oh! Whoa!
Hey, somebody had to do it. Come on.
Hey,
listen, okay. So Ole Miss could win this game. Ole Miss could also lose this game by 66.5. So I could see this going either way. I'm going to take the plus 2.5. I want them to at least try and keep it close. Dale wants Ole Miss to win by 30. But regardless, I think that Ole Miss really overplayed their hand with going into last season, I believe, when Arch Manning was getting recruited. I mean, his uncle went there. His grandpa went there. They could have been rolling Arch Manning out to, you know, roll this LSU Tigers team. But instead, they're going to roll, you know, a middling quarterback. So I'm just going to say that LSU throws themselves out of this game. And I think Ole Miss wins. LSU allows them to take the win.
Do we know who's on the center tomorrow, LSU? I mean, I'm sorry, Ole Miss.
That's a good question.
Jackson Dart, from what I understand. Yeah.
Okay, Dart. Okay. Mm-hmm. Guys, I think there's a category that we need to start considering and talking about on here each week, and that's who's affected the most by the NIL deals. And right now, guys, when we talked about that star-studded list of A-list celebrities that'll be in the house in Boulder, Colorado on tomorrow at 11 a.m., and then you think about Alabama taking losses, you think about Dabo Swinney and the things he's openly said about his negative mm-hmm. feelings about the NIL. Mm-hmm. It's time. Are these coaches going to be able to adjust to the NIL? Are we feeling the effects of the NIL? Is there more parity in college football? These are the questions that we're going to have to ask, guys. And I think week in and week out, we're getting the opportunity to see who's been affected and who's adjusted well to the NIL versus who hasn't. And this is something that coaches, they're people just like us. Everybody doesn't embrace change. I can think about just working in different settings. Dale, you and I work, you know, in the same setting before, and, you know, they implement change at some time, and everybody doesn't take well to change. And some of these coaches, they aren't exempt to that. So I think, you know, does Nick Saban adjust to this? Does Dabo Swinney adjust? We know their feelings about the NIL, and does this open the door for opportunity for teams that are lesser known, but with coaches with the charisma that can bring kids in to the likings of a Deion Sanders and get these celebrities in there and attract those top talents away from those Alabamas and those Clemsons, away from LSU, away from Michigan, away from USC. And I think only time will tell.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that Deion Sanders has showed us that former players are going to be the future of coaching. I think that in the old game, where there was the fullback and wedge blocks and all that crap.
Oh, man.
All that stuff. That was the old head. That was Saban, Sweeney, Belichick, all those guys. The guys that are starting to win at the highest level now, the McVays, mm-hmm. Sanders coming in and already affecting it. And you're right, that charisma plays so much into it. I think that it's going to be about relating to the player on a personal, professional, and football level. That's what Sanders is doing. He's going out there and saying, hey, man, I don't want you to just be a great football player. I want you to be a great person, an addition to your community and all this other stuff. They're building everything from the ground up. So he's able to recruit guys that aren't necessarily saying the best at football, but have a 200% drive. He'll probably take, you know, a Travis Hunter that'll go out there for 150 plays than he would for, say, somebody that's like, oh, man, I got 40 plays on defense, and that's all you're getting. Like, he wants to build it. So I think that the next big coach after Sanders, I'm not sure who it's going to be, but it's most likely going to be a former player.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I think that's the shift. The paradigm is going away from I'm going to use this very loosely, but like just old white dudes and dudes that are now actually playing the game. Like, right. You're seeing stuff like now, New Heights, the podcast with the Kelce brothers.
Yeah.
You're seeing all those things where they're starting to become more available to not only players, meaning other players, but college players, guys that are looking up to them into the future. They're seeing them play. Obviously, there's guys that want to be tight end now that Taylor Swift is dating Travis Kelce. So there's a lot of stuff playing into that. Definitely. You know, if Deion Sanders all of a sudden starts dating, you know, Tom Brady's ex-wife, Gisele Bündchen, like we got some smoke in here. So I think that could be one of the ones that could eventually make his way to college is Tom Brady, to be honest. Think that eventually we will get to the point where guys like Brady, or just, I'm just going to use him as the example because quarterback.
Right.
I think that there's going to be a developed thing where eventually the NCAA is either phased out or put to the side, essentially, to where like Tom Brady and all that stuff can get paid by colleges and go directly coach with quarterbacks and everything like that. And that's where I think the NIL is truly going to change stuff. Because once you have the ability and you're bringing in all this money and you're like, hey, I have 70 extra million. Okay, cool. I'm going to go hire Tom Brady to come out every weekend and coach with Michael Penix in Washington, or I'm going to go bring, you know, this person here or that person there, or we're going to do whatever. That's the future of college football. And that's why I think eventually if college football doesn't go NIL, like full NIL, it'll eventually just become like a USFL, XFL kind of thing where it's just a very short bridge to the next level.
So Nick, I want to add one thing to what you said, because I want to acknowledge that. I think Coach Saban is a great coach. I think Coach Smart over at Georgia is a great coach. There are other great coaches all over college. The thing is, when you add the element of money, monetizing this thing, it takes away that coach's ability that has coached the same way and did coached in a dictatorship almost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect now, word.
You know, you can't coach with that iron fist of dictatorship any longer when this money is being paid, right? And so you have to be more of a business partner. Deion Sanders has taken to this like a fish to water, guys. And it scares people. I'll tell you somebody else, and this is a different sport, but it's in a similar space, Nick, to Penny Hardaway gives me that feeling in Memphis.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like they brought sanctions against Penny Hardaway over in Memphis that were unjust as well, because he was so associated with AAU basketball prior to, and right. So he got in trouble. It's not that he did things that were illegal. It was the fact that it was the fear that Penny was going to do what Deion Sanders is doing now. Mm-hmm. And so they almost, Penny, it doesn't seem like he's welcome at the college ranks. It seemed like they want to run him off to get him back on a professional level, because he can have the same sort of impact. And so, Nick, who can adjust? Who can adjust? You know, and so,
players, because they've already adjusted in the game.
There you go. There you go.
Coaches great adjust part. At halftime. Players adjust between plays. I'm sorry.
I agree with
you. I think that we're slowly, and just to throw out a crazy tinfoil hat idea I've had for years, I think that eventually the NFL could look at the idea of what Premier League Soccer does. So Premier League Soccer develops, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar, but with the under league, so under 11, under 12, under 13, 14, and they do it for like 9 or 10 and up. So they have a like Barcelona, you know, under 11, under 12, all that. So I think that we could eventually get to the point where these teams, the Falcons, all these other ones, run 50 individual like minis in each state. So say, for example, the Dallas Cowboys development team plays the Arizona Cardinals development team only in one state. So there's a, you know, an under 13 division for this one and that and all this other stuff. So this way we can start developing that talent. And that's what you'll start to see, is you'll start to see more people going towards the motivator, the educator, and the supporter, as opposed to the dictator and the dick. Sorry.
Huh. That's very, very good points there, Nick.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a good discussion here, man. I appreciate that. Man.
We could do this all day.
Sorry, Dale, we went over some on that.
No, y'all good. Y'all good. But we'll get back to my LSU here. we're back to LSU game here. So LSU at Ole Miss, minus the 2.5. That's going to be my pick. I just think LSU's offense has been, they've been pretty good this year. And Ole Miss, they don't have a defense. Now, don't get me wrong, LSU's defense is not great at all. They're better than Ole Miss, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It's like I said, if LSU loses this game, it's strictly because they gave it away.
Yeah.
I'm only going to take the 2.5 because I think it could be a close game, just because, again, LSU could play themselves out, but it's going to require an A game on the Ole Miss side. Yep. The smart bet is to take LSU.
Okay. All right, let's go to our last game here. We have Kansas at Texas, and Texas is a 16-point favorite. The total for this game is 62. These are two undefeated teams, and they're on a face-off. Texas has Oklahoma coming up next week, so maybe they're looking past this game. That's possible. But, you know, this is back in 2021. Kansas, they beat Texas 57-56, overtime victory. It was a big deal. And so the following year, Texas beat the crap out of Kansas 55-14. And so that was built-in motivation that year. And so now with all of that out the window, I mean, could Kansas sneak up on them and upset Texas here? What do y'all think?
I'm gonna let you just go first. No, you go. I got it. Trust me.
Okay, perfect. Guys, I'm just looking at some scores this year for Kansas and their wins that they had this year. They're giving up too many points to beat Texas tomorrow. Uh-huh. Yours is gonna go to work, guys. He's gonna go to work. Mm-hmm. He's gonna light it up. The party's over for Kansas. This will help their recruiting, though. It'll be some eyes on this game. They'll be able to come say that they came into this game undefeated. And I just don't see that there's a way that they get away from Texas on tomorrow with Ewers at quarterback. And that's the gist of my pick. Ewers at quarterback and Kansas surrendering too many points.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this line could be higher. I think that Texas wins this by 30. Mm. Texas just hands Kansas, their ass, essentially. Ewers, if he plays, obviously, if he's going to be the starter, he's going to play. But his backup is Arch Manning. So no offense. Texas is fine. They're definitely not back, though. I'm not going to be one of those from Sam Ellinger from a few years ago. That's not them. No.
What?
No,
wait. Back. Texas beat Alabama. Now what else they got to do to be back?
That's great. You beat a Jalen Milroe's run Alabama. Wow. Jalen Milroe couldn't even be the starter for Clemson.
You got to beat who you got to beat. You know, but Alabama was what, number what, eight?
Three
at the time, yeah.
I think they were three when they actually lost.
Yeah, they were number three.
Texas beat them.
But if
let's keep this realistic, guys. I mean, this Texas is not bad. Texas should have some added motivation, though, because things are actually going to get real for them next year. And if they want to try to put a stamp on their name coming into the SEC, This is a time for them to do it. And so those things are going to be motivating factors for the coaching staff to try to show that they belong and they're prepared to play in the SEC.
Have you seen their recruiting? They're killing it right now. I'm telling you. Like, we finished second to them, I think, like twice with five-star kids.
You ever see the five-star kids that Texas A&M brings in every year?
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not a guarantee. You're right.
It's not a guarantee, guys. But none of that will be a factor on tomorrow because Texas will take care of business. It'll be some fans leaving early, man, tomorrow, guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. But just got to remember this. So Texas most likely is going to make the playoffs. The reason why I say that is because if they win this game, even if they lose to Oklahoma, they're basically going to win out the rest of the way. They have, after that, it's Houston, BYU, Kansas State, TCU, Iowa State, Texas Tech. So Texas, worst case, goes 9 in whatever the hell amount of games there are. They only have one loss. So they're done. Okay. They're going to be in the playoffs. It's going to be who can they compete with at the highest level. If they rout Kansas and Oklahoma, they can fight with some top-tier teams. Do I think that they could beat Ohio State, Michigan, Georgia? No. But they could be four.
They do need that win, though, because placement is going to be important. That Texas is going to have to, in order for them to get good placement in the playoff, they're definitely going to need to go out and handle some business tomorrow. And so that could be a motivating factor. They are playing for playoff positioning because they are in a great position for the playoff, for sure.
They are, and they need to be two or three. Four is the worst option because you'll probably get Georgia.
Right.
And that there's no way. I'm sorry. I took Texas going into the Alabama game. What Quinn Ewers did to Alabama last year showed you that he was going to be the Alabama killer. Mm-hmm. But I am going to say something. I'm not sure if you guys follow him. Joel Klatt, the voice of college football, essentially. Mm-hmm. Love the Klatt. But he said a few years ago that Alabama had a Nick Saban problem. Well, Alabama doesn't have a Nick Saban problem. They have a Jalen Milroe problem. And until that problem is solved at the end of this year, when they put somebody else ahead of him, Alabama's not going to be in it. So it's going to be Georgia, Michigan, Texas, and somebody else.
It's sad to agree with you on that, but I have to. Alabama's just a machine. They lose too many coaches every year. And you have to expect this from Alabama, guys. You can't lose your offensive coordinator. You can't lose your position coaches year in and year out. And these positions are hard to replace, guys.
Right.
And I don't even think it's that much. I think it's the fact that when you look at their, 2019 quarterback room, it had Mac Jones, Tua, Jalen Hurts and somebody, and I can't remember the other dude. Yeah, they had four quarterbacks sitting on their roster. Right now, they don't have any good quarterbacks, so that's the difference. Nick Saban needs a quarterback that can execute the offense. I think of him like a college version of Shanahan. If he doesn't have his Brock Purdy, he's going to suck, and that's it.
With the transfer portal, I mean, that's a season away to just solve that problem. Look.
But the difference is he thought he solved it this year with the transfer portal, and he didn't. So tomorrow, next year could be the same thing. And the difference is Arch Manning's going to be playing at Texas. There's going to be some people that move on. Oregon will take a step back because Bo Nix will be gone. Penix will be gone. Caleb Williams will be gone. There will be a bunch of quarterbacks gone, so they'll give him the opportunity. But there's still some quarterbacks out there that are
Nick, the thing that you got to understand, and we talked about this just a little bit earlier, those crowded quarterback rooms are that's – we're at the end of that, guys. Mm-hmm. We're at the end of that. No kid is going to sit with the amount of money that's out there in the NIL. Kids, that's over with. That's a part of that dictatorship. That was that machine. And that's the adjustment that we have to – that only time will tell if Nick Saban can overcome this. Only time will tell if Dabo Swinney can overcome this. Look, guys, these guys came out and publicly said that they were in opposition of the NIL. They did not like the way it worked. And when you have that, when you take that stance of pessimism towards that sort of thing, it doesn't put you on the best side of it, you know, generally. And if I have a kid that with the potential to go and sit behind and get toolish from an older quarterback, I don't want that kid going to a place where coaches don't feel good about the NIL. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that kid going there if he has the potential to go to a lesser big program, but get more money in the NIL, because this is professional sports now, guys.
Correct. Yeah, and it's only going to keep evolving. And that's, you're right, the quarterback room is gone, but that's also the thing. We're seeing the coaches now that relied on the quarterback. Dabo Swinney won titles because he had Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. He didn't win it because he had, you know, a great defensive schemes and everything like that. He had it because he had generational quarterbacks. Alabama's obviously had that, and they've obviously had success without that. But you're right. If I had a kid that, you know, was really successful as a quarterback in high school and he wants to go to college and he wants to go to Alabama, but he's going to be, you know, third string, you need to go to Ohio State and go run that thing. Like, it doesn't matter where you come from. Where most of the top tier quarterbacks didn't come from major schools or even high draft picks. Like, true. Brady was a fifth round draft pick or something like that? Like,
absolutely.
Yep. Sixth round draft pick. Yep. Okay. Well, yeah, I will take Texas in this game. I'm sorry, Kansas State in this game plus the 16. I think it'll be closer than the spread. But of course, Texas is going to roll and win for sure. So,
yep. If you have to, take the money line.
yep. Okay. Well, that's the last game we have for this week. Join us again next week, and we're going to be talking more college football. Nick, go ahead and tell us about your YouTube channel.
Sure, yeah. It's just Real Coverage on YouTube, Real Coverage Pod on Twitter or X. It's actually where I met you guys. It's awesome. Yeah. I love coming on here. You guys have a great show, and I hope to come back. But yeah, I just kind of talk about all sports. I'm really kind of developing the lower end of the sports, meaning like high school and stuff like that. I think that there's really a vacuum in that high school college area. So I think that that's going to be something that I focus on the long term. But right now, obviously, it's NFL. Dame Lillard trade happened. There's a bunch of sports news going on. Soccer's going crazy. Hockey's coming back. So it's plenty to come and enjoy. I put out at least 3 videos every day. So go check us out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Appreciate you guys joining us, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks for having us, Dale.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys soon.
Take care, guys.